This is Pastor Dennis Lyle from Northern Ireland. I'm a personal friend of Pastor Paul Ferguson. In fact, I live close to his house. And it's a joy and privilege to be sharing with you today in Singapore. And I trust that we'll know God's blessing as we share our testimony today. I just want to read from the scriptures in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and the verse 32. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and the verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And may the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious word. Let's bow together in a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our loving Father, we bow humbly and reverently before thee today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of worship. We thank you for the privilege of sharing our testimony. And we pray today that as we speak, that we might know the Lord's help. Remember the church in Singapore. We pray thy blessing upon them in these days. And we pray that they with us might know the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. So speak, Lord, in the stillness, while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If I were to ask you the question, why did the Lord Jesus die? I wonder how you would respond. From every human viewpoint, the death of the Lord Jesus was a triumph of injustice and inhumanity. And yet he died willingly. He could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him, but he refused. He surrendered himself to the hands of wicked men, and he willingly died on a cross. But why? People die for a variety of reasons. Old age, cancer, coronavirus, suicide, accident, kidney problems. Some are even martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus, but some are martyred for their faith in Christ. But why did Christ die? There are three answers, at least, to that question that are provided for us in our New Testament. First of all, Christ died that we might live through him. The Apostle John says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Christ died that we might live through him, that salvation. The Word of God describes us as being dead spiritually. That's why the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, Ye must be born again. This was exactly my condition before God. I was lost, I was sinful, I was dead spiritually, not alive to the things of God. I was on that broad road taking me to the very pit of hell itself. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Christ died that we might live through him. As I look back on my life today, I recognize in the providence of God certain things. First of all, there was instruction through the Word. I was instructed in the Word of God privately. You recall what Paul said to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This was my privilege also. My name is Dennis Lyle, and I was born in the town of Banbridge, some 25 miles from the city of Belfast in the county of Down in Northern Ireland. Perhaps like some of you, I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home and environment. From earliest days, I saw in my dad a man who honored the Son of God, obeyed the Word of God, sought the face of God, was involved in the work of God, encouraged the people of God, and had a concern and a burden for those without God. Sometimes folk meet me and say, "You're the image of your father." In looks, perhaps, but in godliness, there's a long way to go. But this was the environment in which I was reared. From earliest days, I heard the old story of Jesus and his love. Young folk today, don't take your Christian heritage for granted. Don't take your gospel privileges for granted. I was instructed in the Word of God privately. Moreover, I was instructed in the Word of God publicly. A little building that used to stand at the on the Newry Road in Banbridge Town and is now demolished was the birthplace of many precious souls. And from that pulpit, I heard the Word of God faithfully preached. And I was left in no doubt as to my ruin in Adam and God's remedy in Jesus Christ. I remember that I had a godly Sunday school teacher. His name was Robert French. And I can see this old saint yet coming down to the little Baptist church with a big overcoat, a pair of old-fashioned boots tied up to the ankles and mince in his pocket, and he's coming down to the Baptist Church Sunday School to teach me the things of God. I wonder, am I speaking to someone today and you've enjoyed these privileges? Is there a father in the glory today and you recall him instructing you in the Word of God? Is there a mother today in heaven and you recall her tears as she cried to God for your soul? Could it be today that you're still unsaved, you're still unwashed, you're still unprepared, in spite of your instruction through the Word? There was instruction through the Word. Something else, there was salvation through the blood. Indeed, this is the only way whereby you and I can be saved, through faith in his blood. And so it was through home life and church life that God spoke to me definitely, specifically, and personally. One Sunday evening, after the evening gospel service, when I was just about 9 years of age, I come home and I was terribly troubled. Our home was right in the center of the town. My dad was the local barber, the local hairdresser, and the shop was downstairs, and we lived above the shop. And I remember that in the lounge above that shop, my father took out the Word of God and pointed me to the Savior. I could take you to the very spot. Sometimes when I'm walking down that same street, I'll say to my wife, Catherine, or I'll say to the grandchildren, that's where I was gloriously saved. That's where I cast my first anchor. I could take you to the very place where I prayed this simple prayer at my dad's knee. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I was only a child, but with childlike faith I came to Christ. Indeed, is that not how we must all come? The Lord Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I wonder, have you come to Christ? Have you come with childlike faith? Maybe today I'm speaking to someone who is 9 years of age or 19 years of age or 90 years of age. My dear friends, it doesn't matter your age. Christ is the answer to your every need. And though 9 years of age, the burden of sin was gone. What does a little boy of 9 years of age do when he trusts the Savior? Well, he attends church. And that's what I did. He attends Sunday school. He attends the children's meeting. And I did. And I remember for a time, I went on with the Lord. But you know, it wasn't long as I grew up into my teenage years that I discovered there was an enemy of my soul. His name is Satan. And it wasn't long before he was on my track. And I discovered that I began to lose my edge for God and my love for Christ. You know, God's people can backslide. We can grow cold spiritually. God says through Jeremiah, turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you. I wonder today, have you lost your edge for God? Have you lost your love for Christ? Have you grown cold? I certainly did. This was a time in my life when I changed school and change company. These were days when football played an important part in my life, and if I wasn't playing football, I was watching. No harm in that, except the company was godless and the language was atrocious. I wonder today, are you going to places where the Savior's name is being dishonored? The Savior's blood is being despised? The Savior's finished work is being disregarded. You remember what the psalmist says. He said, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. Young folk today, watch your company. They will either make or break you. Wrong company often leads to wrong conduct. And this guy who had a godly home and a gospel church was sinning against the Lord. You know, I was like many teenagers. I felt that I knew better than my parents. By now, I was a rebel. I was frequenting places and indulging in practices that I have not mentioned today. But the world's philosophy was mine. Eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that what the prodigal thought? He wanted to be free. He wanted to do his own thing. No restrictions. Let the good times roll. I wonder today, dear friend, is that what you think? You see, this was weekend living. These were days of sinfulness, days of rebelliousness. And yet in those days of sinfulness and rebelliousness, one memory always stands out. I recall coming home on a Saturday evening very late, turning the key and walking through the barber shop. And just before I went up the stairs to bed, I looked to my right and I could see through the glass window of the door a man on his knees crying to God for his wayward son, pleading with God for his wayward son. And bless God, God saw his tears and heard his cry. Mothers today, fathers, have you a wayward son, a wayward daughter? Have you a family that's not saved? Have you someone today who's backslidden, someone who's in the far country? Well, every time you look at this preacher or any other preacher, remember God is a God who hears and answers prayer. Teenager today, I wonder, are you just like me? Are you breaking your father and mother's heart? Do you remember a father and mother who prayed for you? A mother who perhaps is still weeping for you? You see, if you're backslidden today, you're in the worst possible position. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And my personal sin was beginning to weigh heavy upon me. I was beginning to realize that sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Mind you, I was still attending church. I was expected to. Indeed, I remember that it was an ordinary Sunday evening, no different from any other. And as usual, I was expected to go to the Sunday evening gospel service, and off I trudged. I remember it well. It was the month of January in the year 1968, and as usual, I took my seat at the back spot in the balcony in the gallery so that I could twist and turn and chat and talk without being noticed too much. But you know, my dear friends, the Lord had his eye upon me that evening. And as the pastor preached on the prodigal son, the Spirit of God took hold of me. And he began to speak to me personally and specifically and directly. And you know, when the Lord speaks, you listen. That very evening after the service, in the very place where I had initially placed my trust in Christ, I confess my sin, my coldness of heart, my spiritual wandering. I committed my life afresh to the Lord, and the Lord restored me to the joy of His salvation. Wonder today, am I speaking to someone just like me? Have you been brought up in a godly home? Have you professed faith in Jesus Christ? Are you here today and you're backslidden in heart? My dear friends, God still loves you. He longs for you to return to Him. I wonder today, will you take that step and humble yourself before the Lord and cry with the psalmist, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Christ died that we might live through him. That's salvation. Here's the second reason why the Lord Jesus died. Christ died that we might live for him. That's service. Paul says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Christ died my death for me, that I might live his life for him. Christ died that I might live for him. I wonder today, are you living for Christ? I mean, when you're walking with the Lord, you want to do something for him, do you not? I recall the first years in those early days when I was restored to the Lord, a group of men, including myself, we used to stand every Saturday night on the main street in Banbridge, and we used to trumpet out the gospel in the open air to the crowds across the street that were going into the dance hall. We used to cross the border and go into the Irish Republic to a town called Dundalk and preach the gospel there. And those were great days, and Christ was precious and the Bible was living and souls were being reached. I remember the first opportunity came when I had the privilege of bringing the Word of God. A friend of mine took ill and I had to stand in his place at a little mission hall in Scarva, just about 5 miles from where I lived. Soon more invitations came to preach the gospel, and these were days when I enjoyed the Lord, and I enjoyed the Lord's word, and I enjoyed the Lord's people. I was introduced to Lurgan Baptist Church. I was introduced to the teaching of Pastor Willie Mullen, and what a debt I owe to him as I sat under his ministry each Tuesday evening. A conviction was growing in my heart that the days of secular employment were coming to an end. I might say at this particular point in my life, a Christian young lady, a staff nurse in Banbridge Hospital, a Free Presbyterian, if you please, come into my life, who encouraged me greatly in the things of God. We talked about Bible college. The conviction for Bible college was growing, for I felt my need of concentrated Bible study. But what about the call of God? A word from the Lord that would seal it all. I recall one evening that I was in my home and I was reading and praying and I was meditating on the Word of God and I was seeking the Lord specifically for my future, and I was asking God to guide me personally and clearly. And God spoke to me through one verse. You know how one verse at times leaps out to you. And the one verse that spoke to me clearly was Acts 20:28. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to leave my work. I'm willing to trust you for my future. I'm willing to go into training for you. You know what the devil whispered in my ear? What if that means leaving your family, leaving your security, leaving your country? Well, I had thought about that, but I was determined to take the next step. And so in the year 1972, I entered the Irish Baptist College on the Sandown Road in Belfast. I remember my first day well, for the first evening I was ready to go home. I met with this student who had been in the college for a number of years, and I said to him, how many nights of the week do you get out of this institution? And he said, none. It was worse than Alcatraz. Well, you know, the Lord undertook for me, but 1 year living in the Baptist college was enough, and I needed to get out of the premises. And the only way that I could get out was to get married. And so in 1973, I took the plunge. And Catherine and I were married in the old Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymena in County Antrim. And the Reverend William McCrae married us, and the glue is still holding fast. You know, dear friends, when we got married, we hardly knew where we were going to live. But the Lord went before us, and we started life together in Randallstown, near Ballymena, some 25 miles from Belfast. And for 2 years, I traveled every day into Belfast to Bible college. And these were days when we proved the Lord. We proved the Lord spiritually. We proved the Lord intellectually. We proved the Lord financially. And you say to me today, well, Dennis, did the Bible college help you? Do you know what it taught me? It taught me, my dear friends, two very important lessons. The first lesson was this: how little I know of this wonderful book, the Bible. The second lesson it taught me was the discipline of Bible study. There is no substitute for hard work. You see, the God who had called me was now enabling me. He was now preparing me. He was now directing me. The first years led to the further years. You know, Paul asks a question in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And all that I am today and all that I have and all that I ever hope to be is from the Lord. In the year 1975, I finished the Irish Baptist College and received a call to pastor the church in Carriduff, just a few miles on the south side of Belfast. We stayed there for 12 years. Some 12 years later, we moved to the Iron Hall Evangelical Church on the east side of Belfast. And then some 12 years later, in 1998, I responded to the invitation to become the pastor of Lurgan Baptist Church, where I was until I retired in the year 2017. You know, I believe that the pastoral work is the most difficult and taxing of all Christian service. But I can say with Paul today, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. What blessings the Lord has showered upon me. No greater joy than to serve the Lord. No greater joy than to see others come to faith in Jesus Christ. My friends, the Christian life, it's the hardest life. It's the happiest life. It's the holiest life. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The first years, the further years, the final years. You know, some of us are not as young as we used to be. But you see, you can still have some snow on the roof and a fire in the furnace to the glory of God. My Christian friend today, don't give up the battle. Don't retire until God promotes you to glory.
You remember what Caleb said. At 85 years of age, he says this, give me this mountain. Older folk today, is this your watchword? As you near old age, have you lost the spirit of adventure? Are you hesitant to take another step of faith for God? I don't know about you today, but I want to finish well. Do you? Do you not want to hear the Savior's well done, good and faithful servant? Why did Jesus Christ die? Christ died that we might live through him, not salvation. Christ died that we might live for him, not service. Here's the third thing. Christ died that we might live with him, not satisfaction. Again, Paul says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Christ died that we might live with him. Is that not what the Lord promised his disciples in the upper room? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a comfort for the saint. When those of us who are saved will step into Father's house, you talk about a happy ending. A little boy called Jonathan had been promised a new little puppy dog for his sixth birthday. He was taken to the local pound, and there were so many dogs and puppies there that he found it a hard time choosing one. Finally, he picked up one of the shaggiest pups in the lot. It was standing there, wagging its tail furiously. And his mommy said to him, Jonathan, why did you choose that one? He said, I wanted the one with a happy ending. You talk, my dear friends, about a happy ending. The Bible says that we shall see his face. John says we shall see him as he is. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Oh, when my train rounds into Grand Central Station in glory, I think my dad will be there. How much I owe him. How he prayed for me when he was in the far country. And I think he'll say to me, how did you get along? And I think I'll say, well, pretty well, and I owe a lot to you, and together we'll gaze upon the face of our beloved Savior, and friends will be there I have loved long ago. And joy like a river around me will show, and yet just a smile from the Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. What a comfort for the saint. What a challenge for the sinner. Think of this. In 100 years' time, every soul listening to my voice will be in eternity. The question is where? Where will you spend eternity? Can I remind you, dear friends, today there is an eternity. Paul says the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I stand on the shores of time and cry out, eternity, eternity, how long art thou? When 10,000 times 10,000 years have passed, eternity will have just begun. Look ahead today. How long do you have? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years. Those years will soon be over, and then what? Eternity. There is an eternity. You must spend eternity somewhere. My friend, you've got a soul that's precious, a soul that's imperishable. It's the real you. You'll spend eternity in one of two places, in heaven with Christ or hell without Christ. You'll spend eternity either in the caverns of the damned or the glories of heaven. Where you spend eternity will be determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. You ever think about what the Savior did for you? He came to save you. He died to save you. He shed his blood to save you. He rose again to save you. He lives to save you. He's here to save you. Little girl come home from Sunday school one day. She jumped onto her daddy's knee in the kitchen, and as usual, she began to tell him the story that she had heard in Sunday school. This Sunday, it was the story of the cross. And she told the story of the scourging and the spitting on the crown of thorns that they placed on the head of the Lord Jesus. And then she looked into the face of her dad and she says, "Daddy, don't you love Jesus Christ for that?" And then she told of the journey to Calvary. And at last, when they got Christ to the cross, they nailed those nails into his hands and into his feet. And the little girl with tears in her eyes said, "Daddy, don't you love him for that?" And then she went on to tell how that Christ cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was a moving story. And the little girl, by this time, the tears are trickling, coursing down her cheeks. And she said, "Daddy, don't you love him for that?" And then the darkness of the cross and the precious blood flowing from his head, his hands, his feet and his side. And the wee girl couldn't contain herself any longer. And she flung her arms around her daddy's neck and she says, "Daddy, Daddy, don't you love the Lord Jesus for that?" What all the arguments in the world could never do, that little girl's story of the cross just broke her father's heart. And as a poor, lost, guilty sinner, he knelt at that kitchen table and he wept his way to Calvary. In the light of the cross today, don't you love him for that? Won't you trust him for that? Why did Jesus Christ die? He died that we might live through him, that salvation. He died that we might live for him, that service. He died that we might live with him. That's satisfaction. I wonder today, if you're not saved, will you come to the cross? Will you say with Charlotte Elliot, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Will you come to the cross, to the Christ, to Calvary? Will you come now? Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this simple word of testimony. And we pray, Lord, for the church in Singapore today. We think of those who are gathering, listening to this testimony. We pray, Lord, today for those of us who are Christians, that you'll draw us closer to that wounded, bleeding side of Christ. And for those who are listening today and they're still unsaved and still unprepared to meet the Lord, Father, we pray today that thou will give them deciding grace, that today they might seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We ask all of these mercies, giving thee thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.